Hi, I'm Sue.
Hi, Sue.
I'm a very grateful member of the Al-Anon family groups because today I live an alcoholic. My recovery date is May the 11th, 1976, and Keith's grateful for that. And it's good to be in my home group, the Gotta-Wanna group in Anaheim, California. It's probably one of the largest groups in Southern California. I'm so glad all 200 of you came. And 25 newcomers. But I'll tell you what. There's what, 40 people here tonight?
47.
47? Cool. Because this meeting started, I started this meeting probably 30 years ago. There was 5 of us. And I'm the only one here that helped start this meeting. I had 4 women that I sponsored that I threatened them if they didn't attend. There was a lot of Friday nights I was in that meeting by myself. I had a coffee pot. We had the Al-Anon. We had the AA 12 and 12. We did not have an Al-Anon 12 and 12 then. We were condemned for using the AA 12 and 12 then, and we are today. But it's not a problem today because we have spiritual strength today, and we know that our steps come from Alcoholics Anonymous, which we'll cover. So I've been asked to do the 12 steps, and we're going to try to do that in 80 minutes. So the thing that I like about the 12 steps of this program, now we can use the AA 12 and 12 in our step meeting to study the steps out of, along with our Al-Anon 12 and 12. But the traditions in Al-Anon are different because I was told by a long-timer by the name of Arbutus O'Neill that helped Lois and Bill write the traditions, that there were a lot of things that with the AA traditions that Bill felt that needed corrected. So he used the Al-Anon traditions in making those corrections. And one of the things that he wanted corrected was the fact that when you get into service, which is what the traditions were designed for, to help put guidelines for service down in this program so people could learn to fight legally and get along, is the length of service. In AA, when you take a World Service Commitment, it's a 2-year commitment. In Al-Anon, it's 3 years because they felt like that by the time the second year you knew what you was doing, you was leaving your commitment. And then the next year, a newcomer came along, didn't know what in the hell they were doing, learned it the second year, and they're gone. And so it was like too many trials and errors in the AA's part, but it's still that way today. And so they corrected that in Al-Anon and made Al-Anon 3-year commitment and service. And because we're family groups, they had to change, like the third tradition in AA's, the desire to drink. Ours is helping other families of alcoholics. And so there's a lot of reasons. But the thing that I like about the traditions more than anything is that in the very beginning of the traditions, which, in the introduction, it talks about the obedience to the unenforceable. Now, how many newcomers are here in less than a year? Quite a few of you. When I first started learning the traditions, they were like Greek to me. And the reason we have the traditions, we study the steps first. And the first tradition says, our common welfare should come first. Personal progress for the greatest number depends upon unity. So our common welfare comes first. When we're new, we get a sponsor and we go through the steps first. And we don't have a clue what the traditions are about because we don't have a clue who we are or where we're headed in this program. We just have blind faith that God brought us here and that we're going to find our answers here. And that's what Al-Anon's for. And so once we get to the steps and then we get into 12-step work and then we start volunteering for service commitments, then what? Well, yeah, when I'm in service, I'm powerless over others, and I don't want to let them make my life unmanageable, so what do? My common welfare comes first in service. And so I've got to think, what's good for me? Because there's a lot of politics in service work. And a lot of people make service their program. And I personally don't believe that that should be true. I think service should complement your program and not be your program. And a lot of people focus more on service than they do their own personal progress, which means if we do that, we take our character defects into service. And they always say, if you want to find out what your character defects are, volunteer for service, because they'll all come out. Because, and the way we know that is because everybody takes our inventory. And we find that out. So, personal progress for the greatest number depends upon unity, which means that the first word and the first step's we. When I was an individual, I couldn't live my life on a positive note. I was crazy, I was insane, but when I came to this program and I got a sponsor and she took me through the steps, I became a we. And I became united with you, I became united with a sponsor, and then I became united with a group, and then the ultimate goal. After all of that fell in place, I became united in my home. But I couldn't do that until I learned how to do that with you. And I had to learn how to work a program with you, have faith and trust in you and a power greater than myself, which is my God. And my God worked through my sponsor through all of those steps to convince me of who I was and to find out who I was, what I needed to change about me in order to be of service to my God to help you. And that's what unity is all about. Is I do this to be of service to my God. In my home, and in my home group, and in other places in Al-Anon to be an example. Personal progress in this effort depends on the harmonious working together of all of the group members, which means that as a group, we have to work together. It's like Sue made the announcement a while ago that next week we're going to have openings for program chair, co-program chair, and literature chairman, okay? So there's going to be people that are going to volunteer, be nominated for that. And it needs to be people that know what the word commitment means, okay? And the biggest deal about commitment is it is knowledge, inspiration, and devotion. It is an honor to be of service in my home group, at any meeting, as well as in my home. Taking out the trash is being of service in my home. Now, Keith and I used to play a game. We played lots of games. But early on, it's why I put the traditions on our refrigerator in the house, because my sponsor said, you apply these traditions in your home. So we had a deal where I'd walk in the kitchen, and the trash can would be sitting out in the middle of the kitchen floor. And I'd put it back under the cabinet. Like, what the hell? You know, and I'd stick it back under the cabinet. So then pretty soon I'd go back in the kitchen, and the trash is sitting back out in the middle of the floor. And so I'd put it back under the cabinet. Nobody was saying a word. Now, if he wants me to take the trash out, he's going to have to ask me, but why can't he take it out himself? If it bothers him bad enough, do it yourself, which we'll talk about when we get to the seventh tradition. But we hadn't gotten there yet, and so we played this game. And so one day, when I was talking to my sponsor about it, she said, if it bothers you bad enough, do it yourself. I said, but it doesn't bother me. What bothers me is that he's putting it out in the middle of the kitchen floor. She said, then just go empty it and put it back under the cupboard, and it stops the game. quit participating in the game. And I said, but then he won. And she goes, no, he didn't. And so the next time it gets full, before he sets it out in the middle of the floor, go empty it, and then the game's over. Quit keeping score with all of this stuff. And for years, I've made the bed in our home. For years and years and years. I never, ever expect Keith to make the bed. This morning, our daughter called us, and yesterday my sponsor's husband passed away, and so today I was going over to her house, and so because my daughter called and she was working on a project translating some Italian and asked me for help, I helped her real quick, and it made me run late. And so I told Keith, I said, I'm going now, but I haven't had time to make the bed, which is not my pattern. And I said, so I'll make it when I come home. Now, I didn't have to say anything to him, but I wanted him to know that I just wasn't arbitrarily just rushing off and I was in na-na land and I wasn't taking care of what I call my responsibilities. And he said, no problem, babe. And he started making the bed. And I said, thank you. Now, that's a long ways from the trash can in the middle of the kitchen floor. But it's because of the example we set, or I set, that makes unity in everything I do. Because they say you give it away, you get it back tenfold. So anything that I'm asked to do in this program or at home, I keep it simple. And I don't let it be watered down. And at home, by not letting it be watered down, it's like I had to straighten up some patterns. My house was filthy when I got here. And I don't have a problem cleaning the house today because I do it for me because I like a clean house. As a result of that, other people, when we were going through the program, our daughter was still home, we all worked together to do our part. And we fought about that for years. But when they saw me making an effort in my home, they made the effort. And it's like a couple weeks ago here at the hall. They had a list and they needed people to help clean up. And I signed up for bathrooms. I got 33 years in this program. What's that mean? Nothing. Nothing. It means nothing. It just means that I've been here longer than you have. But when I get in pain, I don't stay there as long as you do. Because I've worked the solutions over and over and over again where they're more automatic for me and I want to get into the solution sooner, but it doesn't mean I'm not above cleaning the bathrooms. I'm just like you. I've backed him before here a while back too, you know, and it's like I love to see newcomers being encouraged by their sponsors to take commitments here because those are the things that made me feel part of. Because I was an I until I participated. And so I take on the commitments and I become part of the unity of this group. Okay. Tradition 2. Does anybody have any questions or anything on Tradition 1? No? Okay. Tradition 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. A loving God as he might express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. And it says in here, our leaders are those who are willing to be servants, those who devote their time. I love that word, devote their time. It doesn't say they do just a little bit every once in a while. They devote their time, work, and love to the fellowship. You know why? Because without this, I have nothing. If I don't put my program in recovery first, everything else in my life goes out the window. Okay? They have dedicated, it doesn't mean submitted, they have dedicated themselves to serving, not directing or controlling. And the best way to lead in this program and to show devotion and dedication is to do it for me. And therefore, I become an example to the newcomer. And we should all be practicing that principle in this program. and in our home group. Because if we do it here, we'll take it to work. We'll take it home. I'm devoted to my family. But what am I devoted about? What am I devoted to? Bitching and complaining at home? No. I'm in recovery. I can't do that anymore and be an example of recovery. They'd say, why do you even go to those meetings? Why are you wasting your time? You haven't changed. You're just as bad as you were, but now you're not home. That's why we say the program of attraction. And the bad news to me when I was new is that the woman sets the pace in the home. And I didn't like that because I thought I'd been doing that all along anyway, and I had not. I was the thumb that it talks about in the One Day at a Time book. I wanted everybody to be under that thumb. You know, it's like we talked to our daughter called us this afternoon, and she had taken Jasmine, the youngest granddaughter, to the emergency room because Nicole, our oldest granddaughter, they were playing, and she jerked on her arm, and it jerked her elbow, Jasmine's elbow, out of socket. And so Simona called her husband, Fabio, and told him that she was at the emergency room, and they was fixing Jasmine's elbow, and what happened? Well, they were playing, and Nicole grabbed her arm and jerked it out of place, and Fabio said, I'll kill her when I get home. I'll kill her. He's Italian. And Simone, you know, and Nicole goes, well, what did Papa say? You know. And Simone said he's going to kill you when you get home. And Nicole said, tomorrow is not going to be a good day. So we said, put Nicole on the phone. And so Nicole got on the phone and she goes, Granny, not mean to. And I had her on the speakerphone and Keith and I said, Nicole, we love you. It was an accident. You didn't want to hurt your baby sister. No. It was an accident. And she said, see, accident. And we go, we love you. She goes, thank you, Granny, Pappy. And I said, and if Papa yells at you tomorrow, you call Granny. And she said, okay. Now, why did I tell you that? Shit happens. Things happen. But it's like the unity that we went through the steps in our home, making our amends and everything. When Simone has a problem, she calls home. And she wants the love and support of her family. She needs the love of her God, and we're not it. We're not the ultimate authority. And we don't govern or control anybody, but we let each other know that we're okay when we make mistakes. Okay, we're not controlling. We don't direct, but we give loving support and we are examples for each other. And I told Simone, I said, you know, did you share with Nicole when you had an accident with her, when you accidentally spilt that acid on her? And Simone said, yes, I did, Mother. And I said, good for you, because that tore Simone up, and thank God it didn't hurt Nicole that bad. But we share our experiences, strength, and hope in here, and we don't complain. If you're not willing to do something and be of service in here or at home, don't complain about stuff. You have no right to complain if you're not participating. Okay? It also talks about don't ask for advice and then blame people if it doesn't work out. At the end of our meetings, it talks about reason things out with someone else. It's talking about talking to a sponsor. And we call a sponsor, and the sponsor reason things out with us, gives us other options that we never thought of. And we have a choice. And there isn't one thing in my life that I haven't gone through that my sponsor hasn't gone through prior to. And I was telling Bubbles earlier, I looked at my sponsor today and I thought, shit. Thank God she's going through the loss. Because I know one day I'll be there. And it really, when you get it close to the family bone, it makes us grateful, more grateful for what we have today and to not take things for granted. We cannot take the fact that this meeting is going to be here every Friday night at 8 o'clock if I am not willing to participate or you are not willing to participate. And if we go around blaming each other and criticizing each other in here, we'll die. We'll die because everything negative in our life will die if we put God first. And we give back tenfold what we give away. So we get to the third tradition. The relatives of alcoholics, when gathered together for mutual aid, may call themselves an Al-Anon family group, provided that, as a group, we have no other affiliation. The only requirement for membership is that there be a problem of alcoholism in a relative or friend. So, when we are together for mutual aid, we talk about the disease of alcoholism and the steps because they're the solution. And we do that because we're being of service to each other in our meetings by sharing in our meetings. That's a form of service. When you raise your hand to participate, if you're sitting in a participation meeting and you're sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, I gotta listen to her again. Well, ask yourself, when was the last time you got up to participate or raised your hand? Don't criticize and blame others if you're not willing to do something yourself. And the reason we do that is to help each other. That's how we give back what we've been given. And it really doesn't matter how much time you have. There might be somebody in here. I might be in here one night, complacent as hell, with 33 years, and a newcomer walks in the door and had some chaos happening in her life today with the alcoholic, drinking in jail, or just out of rehab, or whatever, and it's not what she thought it was going to be, and she shares that, and it might just go boom to me. My God, my gratitude went out the window. I needed her tonight. So it doesn't matter how much time you have. Once you get over your 30 days, you can start giving to others because you have more time than the girl walking through the door tomorrow. And that's what this is all about. This is about love and giving. And that's called being of service. Getting off our ass and quit being takers and start being givers. And learning how to make commitments to other families of alcoholics because they're hurting too. And you are the only people that understand them. I am the only people that understand them. You are the only people I understand. And so we're bonded by this mutual problem that we have, which makes us a lot more dedicated and devoted to each other than sitting in a church. Where everybody has a whole ton of different problems that they're trying to find the solution to, and that's great. But we have one common problem. And so we all identify, and I don't have to search out and talk to you for hours and hours to find out what your problem is. And I don't have to go to a preacher that hadn't been where I'm at. I can come to you, and you're very valuable to me for that. And I'm not putting down religion. I'm just saying, you know, a Catholic priest told me one time in AA, don't go to church until you've recovered in Al-Anon. Then go back to church and have religion enhance your spirituality. Because that's what it'll do. You won't get well at church, he said. And I believed him. And today I know that's true, that religion is for people who are afraid to go to hell and spirituality is for those of us that have already been there. And so we understand each other. And that is being a form of service. And so to give it away to other families of alcoholics is doing God's work because we found God in the 12 steps. And we made the commitment when we took the 12 steps to try to give this program away to the best of our ability and practice it in all of our affairs. That means at home, at church, at work, wherever we're at. We have a responsibility to practice these principles in our life. So the sunlight of the Spirit shines on us every day. And we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. But it says try. And this, the other steps talk about devotion and dedication. And if you have that kind of devotion to the program, the solutions come. Because, you know, take the word a searching and fearless moral inventory. Search. You gotta search. Go deeper. Go deeper. Don't just say, okay, I had a bad day. Don't analyze and paralyze yourself. But look at, I had a bad day because, what was my part in the whole thing? I remember one day, especially at work when I was working, I was really having a bad day with my supervisor. And I took her through the four columns, and I went through the 12 steps that day. All 12 steps with that circumstance that day. But when I took my supervisor through the four columns, I looked at what part I played in it, and I was being very defiant internally. She didn't know that. But the reason I resented her is because I didn't like her, and I didn't want her telling me what to do. Well, guess what? That was her job. She was there to tell me what to do. And it says in the second tradition, ultimate authority. I didn't want her to be my ultimate authority. You don't understand. I have a God, and he told me I don't have to listen to people like you. That's how we think when we don't have a program. Okay? So, we get to this step. The only requirement for membership is that we have a problem in alcoholism in a relative or friend. We had a girl in our group one time that was not getting it. And she had had two sponsors. And I asked her one day, I said, what is your problem? Why do you think you're not getting this? And she goes, I don't know. And I said, you have alcoholism in your family. And she said, I think so. And she said, I know that my mother had alcoholism in her family. And so I asked her, I said, and her sponsor at the time, can I do a fifth step with her? Will the two of you let me do a fifth step? And they said yes. Because this girl was floundering so bad, and she was in so much pain, and she'd been here for a couple of years, three, something like that. And so I did a fifth step. I had her do some writing in the four columns, and she did a fifth step with me. Her mother was schizophrenic, and she complained about her mother all the time. Her mother was schizophrenic. Her mother was not an alcoholic. Nobody had ever asked her, because she complained about her mother all the time, did your mother's drinking bother you? Nobody ever pointed that out. They just said, well, we have to accept, you know, and that blah, blah, blah. Nobody ever specifically asked her, did your mother's drinking bother you? People assume that when you come in that door, you belong here. Not necessarily so. And so I asked Kelly if she would go to look up Emotional Health Anonymous and go to one meeting a week, along with her Al-Anon meetings, and see if it helped. And she said, I'll try it. I'll try anything. And you know what? She ended up going to that program full time. She found all of her identity in those rooms because she didn't have alcoholism in her life. So yes, it was confusing to her. So working with families of alcoholics, make sure there's alcoholism in a relative or friend. Don't just assume because somebody's here. I've tried working with a lot of ladies that couldn't get it. Could not get it. And one of the ladies ended up at a woman's safe place up in the mountains, out in her pickup, snorting coke at a woman's safe place. So they says, what are you going to do about that? I said, I'm going to leave her alone. And she eventually hit a bottom for herself, and she went and got drunk when I she came and confronted me with that, and I said, I know. I knew you were doing that. Why? Because another newcomer reported you. You offered her coke, but she's not an addict or an alcoholic. And she said, yeah, when I got home, I got drunk. I said, you think you're in the wrong program? She said, absolutely. And she went to AA. Nobody knew that until she couldn't handle just not doing anything. She didn't have the identity in here. And as far as I know, she's sober and clean today. So we can't help everybody. We only help the relatives of. And our job is, people that have time and are asked to be sponsors, to relate with these people that come in new when we try to carry the message to relatives of alcoholics, and to identify. Without the identification, there is no recovery. We guard against confusion that results when we allow our program to be diluted. So when we don't do that, we're allowing our program to be diluted because we end up with all kinds of things in here that are not alcoholism. And that's our responsibility. We have no other affiliation. Yeah. We support Alcoholics Anonymous because that's where we came from. And I will support anybody in another 12-step program. But I cannot affiliate myself with them as far as contributing of myself to their program. I was asked one time years ago to talk at a meeting over in this hospital. And I went over there and I shared. And when they read the preamble, I found out it was an Al-Anon meeting. And nobody had told me that prior to. And so when I got up to share, I said, I hope you understand that I am a member of the Al-Anon family group. So I am not a member of Al-Anon. And so my primary purpose is to help families of alcoholics. And I don't just concentrate on drugs, but there were drugs in our past. And I will try to concentrate on that. But alcohol was my big problem with my husband. And after that meeting, this lady came up to me, and she said, oh my God, she said, I need to go to Al-Anon. I haven't heard any answers here. And I heard some answers from you. And her son drank and used. But he was more of a drunk than he was an addict. And with the combination of the two is what she identified with. He could drink and get drunk, and then he'd take drugs and he could drink more. And that's what my husband did. And she identified with that, and she ended up going to Al-Anon. Now, last year, I was asked to share at the Al-Anon convention in Las Vegas. And I said, I am an Al-Anon. And I do not belong to your program. And this lady said, we have called our World Service office, and they said it is perfectly okay for a member of Al-Anon family groups to share at our conference as long as you identify as a member of the Al-Anon family groups and say, we did have drugs in our home, but my primary purpose was alcohol, to recover from alcoholism, not addiction. And so I shared. And it was funny because there was a lot of ladies there from Al-Anon that came to that meeting to support me. There were only 6 Al-Anon members there. Isn't that weird? And I believe that one of the reasons is that Al-Anon is a stronger program. It's the original. Everything from AA went out and branched off. And so there's identity in each program. This tradition says the only requirement for membership is that there be a problem of alcoholism. So when we come here or when we talk to newcomers, what are our motives for encouraging newcomers to come in here? Is it, what's my motive to 12-step somebody? Is because my sponsor's on my back and saying you need to work with others? And I'm desperate. I don't care what they do or what they have or anything. I just got to get my sponsor off my back. So, you know, could be anything. Or am I trying to help somebody? If I'm trying to help somebody, I'm going to ask the right questions so I won't dilute Al-Anon. I won't dilute Al-Anon. And we share with them what Al-Anon is, not what Al-Anon is not. And we keep our program strong. And that's why I love my home group, is because my home group is a strong Al-Anon group. And I believe that it's strong because years ago it was founded based on the strength of sponsorship. Very, very strong sponsorship when I was new. You could not, they never said go to 6 meetings and try it, and if you don't like it, they said, you know, you go to 3 or 4 meetings, if you don't like it, go away and we'll gladly refund your misery. That's what they used to say in Al-Anon meetings. Now they say, go to 6 meetings to find if it's right for you. Well, we had a newcomer Tuesday night that came up here and wanted to grandstand. She wanted attention. She wanted everybody to notice her pain that she was in. Well, guess what? We all have been in that kind of pain. She wasn't unique in this meeting. So it's like nobody's unique here. Hopefully we've all been in as much pain as that girl was in on Tuesday night. We need to let her know that. She came up to me, you don't understand the devastating pain I've been in. I said, no, honey, you don't understand the devastating pain I was in when I got here. And more than that, you don't understand what recovery's about, so you need to sit down and shut up and listen. And that's what her sponsor needs to tell her to do. Because going up the podium and whining every meeting she goes to is not going to get her into recovery. So pay attention to the relatives of alcoholics and why you're working with them and what you're giving them away so you do not dilute this. Tradition 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting another group or Al-Anon or AA as a whole. Every group is free to choose its own meeting program and topics for discussion to decide when and where it should meet, when it will have open meetings and who will speak at them, and how its funds will be apportioned. The group is also taking responsibility for presenting a favorable picture of Al-Anon to the world at large, making Al-Anon all the more appealing to those who still suffer and need our help. And this is a very important tradition on not affecting Al-Anon or AA as a whole. After I started going to meetings in Las Vegas for a while, you know, some of the girls that asked me to sponsor them started a Gotawana 12 and 12 meeting in Las Vegas. And they wanted to make it a closed Al-Anon meeting with Al-Anons only in that meeting, women's stag. And the reason they wanted to do that is because there were a lot of dual members over there that come into Al-Anon meetings that just dump. And they do that because the Al-Anons are not strong enough to say, excuse me, if you are from another 12-step program, you are welcome to be here. But please do not share your drunkalogs and concentrate on the Al-Anon concept. They do not have the courage to speak up to that. So there's a lot of meetings over there that had alcoholics taking over Al-Anon meetings just by puking in them. And so these girls wanted recovery, and so they made it a closed meeting. Oh my God, their inner group over there went crazy. You can't do that. You can't deny anybody. So I talked to my sponsor, and she said, okay, do what we did at our Hollywood meeting years ago when that was happening in our Hollywood meeting. We put a statement in our opening comments that said, if you're from another 12-step program, you are welcome to be here, but you will not be allowed to participate. Well, Interwork Group went crazy over that, too. But they couldn't do anything about it because of this tradition. It wasn't hurting Al-Anon as a whole. In fact, it was helping Al-Anon. It was making Al-Anon, some Al-Anons in that community, stronger. So when they were in other meetings and alcoholics would start sharing their drunkologue, they'd go, excuse me, this is an Al-Anon meeting. If you have someone in your life who's drinking and bothers you, you're welcome to be here. But there's an AA meeting over there if you need to talk about your drinking problem. You know what happened? AA's got pissed and they left. They punished that group by leaving. Because these girls are strong enough to stand up. And they had to learn the traditions before they ever got through the steps. Isn't that cool? And the district rep finally, because there's so much controversy, the district rep came to the meeting to observe the meeting, because one of the girls finally said, she said, you're using the AA 12 and 12 for the steps. And they said, yes. Because that's where our steps came from, Alcoholics Anonymous, and we can use the AA 12 and 12 as a backup because our steps are from AA. And you've never been there and you're bad-mouthing us, why don't you come and attend one of our meetings? And so the district rep came to the meeting and she went, oh my God, these are women that I see in meetings all over the place and they share good stuff. Like, duh. And so at the break, she sat down and she said, you know, I have been an Al-Anon. She told me. I have to go around to this meetings, to different meetings in my district to make sure that they are not breaking the traditions. And I said, well, have you visited the meeting that's using women who love too much? No, I didn't know that was going on. And I said, well, to me, that's more in violation of these traditions and hurting Al-Anon as a whole, more than using the 12 and 12 from Alcoholics Anonymous, because that's where we come from. We have not diluted this program. She said, well, what you have to understand is that I have 30 years in this program, and I have been of service almost from the very beginning, and I know my stuff. And I said, that's cool, honey. What you need to understand is I have 33 years in this program, and I was doing this stuff 2.5 years before you ever got here. So I know what I'm talking about. And I have served on the World Service Board in Southern California for 9 years. So don't come here and think that you're going to tell me that I'm diluting, this group is diluting the Al-Anon program. You need to go home and pray about what you're saying. Because you are breaking traditions like crazy, gossiping about this group. And you want to call yourself a DR? I am very disappointed in you. And she said, after the meeting, she came up to me. She said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm the DR of this area, and this meeting is in my group, and I enjoyed this meeting. And I'm going to go to Intergroup and tell them to take this group off of their agenda that we will not talk about this group anymore. And I said, that is a good idea. And they haven't had a problem with it since. And their meeting's grown. They started out with 5-6 people, and they run 17-22 women every Monday night. And they decided to make it an hour and a half meeting. All the meetings are an hour long, and this is an hour and a half. And everybody said, won't work. Nobody's going to go to it. Nobody will take an hour and a half for a meeting. Okay, well, there's some people who want recovery, so we'll see. But what happened is that the district rep and the intergroup was breaking the traditions more than the step study meeting was. And they were, the intergroup was hurting Al-Anon as a whole in that town more than that 12 and 12 group, that not a one group was. And what ended up happening is that people would hear these girls share in their meetings, and the last time I was over there, this lady came up to me, and she said, I would like to go to that Monday night Gotawana group to study the steps and traditions. Can I go there? I said, you don't have to ask anybody if you can go there. It's listed in the directory. You can go to any meeting in that directory you want to. And she said, well, my sponsor told me these are the only three meetings I can go to. And I said, well, you need to study your traditions more because there are no ultimate authorities. And she goes, which tradition is that? And I said, I think that's your second tradition. You might want to read that to your sponsor. So I don't cause any controversy. I just report facts. So anyway, the program over there is getting stronger all the time. It's good. And Cindy A. from our group's over there now, and she's becoming a great example. Yeah. And I have to remind the girls over there, she's only another Al-Anon. Don't put her on a pedestal. And then the jealousy comes out. Well, she did this and she did that. And I said, that's because she's got 12 years and you only have three. I said, watch her, pay attention, learn from her. Yeah. And they are. They are. And they love Cindy a lot. Okay, tradition 5. Each Al-Anon family group has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps of AA ourselves. Love that. By encouraging and understanding our alcoholic relatives, and by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics. These steps, which we borrowed from AA and adapted to our special needs, are being used in similar ways by other self-help organizations. So, we're not the only ones, and it goes on to tell us what groups. But this is the tradition that gives us permission to read the steps out of the AA 12 and 12, or even the AA Big Book, because that's where the steps are. We adapted the steps of AA. We don't have steps. Arbutus O'Neill used to say that all the time. Al-Anon doesn't have steps. We adapted the 12 steps from Alcoholics Anonymous, and it says that in our literature. So we don't have steps. We have the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. The only difference is in the last step where it says alcoholics, ours says others. That's the only difference. So this is the tradition that gives us permission to go to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We cannot read the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in our meetings because it is not Al-Anon conference approved literature. However, they have a new amendment to the service manual that says we can discuss outside literature when sharing in a meeting. Now, in my opinion, that is diluting the Al-Anon program, but if you use it right, you can use the AA book or talk about the AA Big Book in your meetings. They just screwed themselves. So, in my opinion. Now, how do you work this at home? You apply the steps to yourself at home. You welcome and give comfort to the family members in your home, which includes the alcoholics. Understanding our alcoholic relatives. That's what Al-Anon's all about, is learning to understand the disease of alcoholism, accepting the fact that my husband's an alcoholic. He was a sick person, not a crazy sucker. And to have compassion that the things that he didn't want to do them any more than I wanted to do the things that I did. But he had a compulsion to alcohol. And when he started drinking alcohol, he couldn't change what he was doing. Alcohol had control of him. How do I know that? I read the doctor's opinion in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I suggest if you're new, you read that book too. So, and it talks, tradition 5 suggests that we will best be able to help ourselves when we ourselves practice the 12 steps. They give us the guidance we need for sharing with each other. Now, it's like I have heard that people come to meetings, get a sponsor, and after a period of time, they decide they don't want to go to meetings anymore but they still want to call their sponsor. I will not talk to people that quit going to meetings. I am not Al-Anon. I have been told by my sponsors, if someone's not going to Al-Anon meetings, I can't help them because I'm not Al-Anon. The meetings are representative of Al-Anon program, not me as an individual. I only carry the message. So if someone decides to not go to meetings, I'm not Al-Anon. I can comfort them and suggest to them, I highly suggest you start going back to meetings because I can't help you if you don't. Because that's where we get the unity. That's where we help each other. That's where we get the message. That's where we get all the solutions, because I as an individual don't have all the solutions for one other individual. Now, I asked my sponsor to be my sponsor because there's a lot of identity and similar experiences, but she has not always had all my answers, and she has said to me, let me call my sponsor and I'll get back to you. And I say the same thing to ladies I sponsor if I don't know the answer. For each of us, it is a relief to be able to talk freely to someone who understands. And I think they're talking about sponsorship there. I also think that it's talking about home. My daughter used to be able to, she had a voice in the home after she went to Alateen, because we all got the program at the same time. But I cannot sponsor the alcoholic, and I cannot sponsor my daughter. I cannot sponsor my family members. I can't sponsor my husband because I'm not an alcoholic. I do not understand him and his thinking. And a great example of it is one time we was coming back from San Diego and we passed Anderson's Split Pea Soup restaurant. And he said, why don't we pull in there and get some split pea soup? I said, yuck. I hate peas. He said, I like them. I said, how can you like them? They're horrible. I don't like peas. He goes, Sue, what you need to understand is peas don't taste the same to me as they do to you. Same as alcohol. How many times did I hear when he was drinking? Here. I don't like that. I hated gin and scotch. Gin tastes like hair tonic to me. And he would say to me, I don't know how many times he'd say this to me, you have to acquire a taste. So I have to understand, I can't help him because split pea soup doesn't taste to me the way it does to him. Neither does alcohol. Alcohol doesn't do to me what it does for him. I can take it or leave it. Once he takes a drink, he can't leave it. He's hooked. He's got to have another because the phenomenon of craving sets in that I don't have. You know, like right now I'm hooked on these cinnamon fire candies. I'll eat five or six of them in one meeting. And I found out the other day I'm pissing people off that are sitting around me because I crunch them. So I have to change my pattern of how I eat them or withdraw and not eat them at all. So guess what I'm going to do first? Okay. This tradition, there's three challenges in this tradition. Showing concern for others frees ourselves from bitterness, resentment, and anguish. The second challenge is accepting alcoholism as a disease. And the third challenge is our own serenity and spiritual growth comes first. And then we can give comfort for others. And in thinking it over in this step on page 109, the last two paragraphs here is the answer for self-pity. When I have times of loneliness, even for loneliness, I long for such comfort. I can provide a willing ear and a kind word. All that's needed is less concentration on my problems, and once I begin to reap the rewards, working this tradition will be easier and more satisfying as time goes on. So what it's talking about is getting out of myself and helping others. That works at the home, and it works in these groups. Because if we're sitting in here, or even to get, okay, Sue's my very best friend. Sue B, sitting up here on the front row. Let's say she's my very best friend, and I have a pattern of only having one friend at a time. And so I just hang out with her and I talk to her. Who am I depriving by not making friends with a lot of other people in this room? I'm depriving me. My gosh. Look at all the wealth of experiences in this room. And by me not sharing my experiences with others in this room, I'm depriving others of my growth. And so we stay out of the self, bondage of self, like in step three. Tradition six. Ooh. How much longer we got? Oh, gosh. All right, tradition six. Our Al-Anon family groups ought never to endorse, finance, or lend our names to any outside enterprise. Lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary spiritual aim. Although a separate entity, we should always cooperate with Alcoholics Anonymous. Be careful of this. Be careful of prestige. It can involve sponsorship. Our ego can get into, oh my God, I sponsor 7 women. Nobody else in this group sponsors that many women. So the ego can set in. And when that happens, we're depriving the people we sponsor of a spiritual experience because I'm in the self and I'm not carrying God's message, I'm carrying mine. So be careful, because these traditions, just like the steps, guard against all of our character defects. And even at home, if I get a promotion, like when I became the HR manager of this company, you know, my family said to me, who do you think you are? You're not at work anymore. You can't tell people what to do around here. Because what I have to remember is that if I'm not working a program in one area, it's going to spread out into all other areas of my life. And so I have to constantly, and it'll go into my meetings and into sponsorship, and I'll become bossy and controlling and give direction. I don't want to do that. And so I have to constantly concentrate on my primary spiritual aim. Why am I doing this? I'm doing this because God gave me a second chance at this life. I am being of service to my God. This is the so-called payback to my God for giving me life. I owe my God big time. And the only way I can help thank my God for giving me a second chance at this life is to help others by carrying this message. And so I look at my primary spiritual aim. It involves sponsorship. It does not matter who gets the credit. Today I helped my daughter translate an Italian letter for her in-laws into English because they were sending a letter to America, to an American person. And they had written it out in Italian, and because she speaks both languages, she called and she goes, Mom, I want to make sure that when this is translated into English, it's properly written. And so I helped her do that. And she said, I'll be sure and tell my in-laws that you helped do this. I said, you don't have to do that, Simone. Let them think that you're smart. You know, let them think that you are being of service to them. It doesn't matter. And she said, I know, but I'm not like that. Yeah. But see, it doesn't matter who gets the credit. And especially in sponsorship, it doesn't matter who gets the credit. Because it's like if I have somebody I'm sponsoring and they're really growing, and I'm sure Bubbles will identify with this, it's like, oh my God, look at her. She's my baby. She's growing. She's just doing so good. And then her bottom hits the pavement. Then what do I look like? Somebody go, oh, what's Mary doing? I thought you said she was growing. What happened? What did you quit doing with her? If I'm going to take credit for the good, I got to take credit for the bad. So it's like, no, no. Mary's on her own. Mary takes what she likes from me and leaves the rest. Or passes it on, whichever she wants to. But we hit plateaus in this program, and I hate that when I hit a plateau in this program. And what I do when I hit a plateau and recognize I'm not growing anymore, I start talking to newcomers more, and I start reading my literature more often. And I start participating more in my meetings or helping others more because I want to grow more. I do writing. I do inventory work. What's going on with me that I have blockage from? And I don't like having that blockage from the sunlight of the Spirit. And I have to search more to find out who I am, what is blocking that, so I can get deep down in here and find out some more. Maybe it's because I don't respect authority that I'm not growing anymore and I can't listen to somebody. Okay? So I find out all those things about me that I didn't find out when I did my inventory. So I have to keep searching and keep working on me. So, are we done on this tape? Yeah. Okay. Now, at this point, you want to take a group conscious if we want to go through the second six traditions, or you want to save it for another meeting? I won't be here next weekend.
So it would be 2 weekends?
It would be after Thanksgiving. Okay. Thank you, guys. I'll be more concentrated, okay? Let me know when you're ready, Ken. All right, I'm going to take my watch off and put it right up here. You guys like what we're going through? Is it hitting all areas for you? Okay. Don't be afraid to raise your hand and ask a question at the end of each tradition, okay? And we'll go through it real quick. Okay. All right. Tradition 7. Each group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Now, this is a worldwide fellowship. It's like when we have a fundraiser, we contribute ourselves. Like we can't go out and ask suppliers outside to donate for a raffle. I have to get a raffle prize or have one and donate it to the group because I'm a member of Al-Anon. And then we can put it in the raffle. Or I make it and donate it to the group. We're self-supporting. So we can't go to like a restaurant and say, can I have... I mean, Keith and I, like, we play bingo here, and we have bingo gifts, and we have given away movie passes. Well, we didn't go to the movie and ask for those movie passes. Those movie passes were given to Keith and I as a gift. And so we hadn't used them, and so we've donated them to the group to give away as a bingo prize because we're members of the group. So we can't just go to the movie and ask them if they'll donate movie passes for us. And so we can't do that. So we're self-supporting through our own contributions. Now, in our home, we're also self-supporting through our own contributions. And we do all of this to keep free from outside influence. We must look at ourselves for support. It's like I said earlier, if something bothers me bad enough, I have to do it myself. Now, when I was working and Simone was at home, we all did our own laundry. I remember one time, and I'd finally gotten a housekeeper because I didn't have time for it. Simone didn't like doing it. Of course, Keith didn't like doing it. And we tried doing it all together on Saturday mornings, whatever, and we fought like crazy. And so my sponsor said, you work. Do a budget and include housekeeping in your budget. You've worked for a long time. You deserve to do that. So I talked to Keith and Simone about it. We took a group conscience, and we all decided that if I wanted to pay for outside help, that I could do that. And so I got a housekeeper to come in and clean house for us every other week. And it worked for us real well. And one night Keith was reading the newspaper, and he said, do you know that it says in the paper that 85% of all women that work clean their own houses? And I said, that is so cool. Does it say how many meetings a week they go to? And so we never had debate over that ever again. And I thought it was cool because, like I said, when we were new in the program, our house looked horrible, and I had laundry stacked everywhere. And when he went through detox, they taught him how to do his own laundry. And so when he came home, he started doing his own laundry, and he would do laundry every day or every other day. And Simone and I would complain about it. We didn't have any clean clothes. And he said, well, why don't you do what I do and do a load every day, and then you won't have this big pile up on the weekend. I'm like, wow, what a concept. And so detox that he went through taught us a lot. Yeah. And so we all did our own laundry. Then when I retired, and I would always fold his clothes for him, and then he would put them up. And now that I'm retired, I do all the laundry in our house. And Simone's, you know, she's gone and has her own family. But I do all the keys in my laundry. And what a gift it is to me today to be able to do that for him. You know, it's not a chore anymore. It's something that once I started doing it, it was part of my job at first. And now it's a gift. I enjoy doing it for him. And he always says, thank you, babe. Thank you, babe. And it's like, you know, how neat. How neat is that? You know. So we don't have the outside influences, and we must look to our self-support. So if it bothers me bad enough, I do it myself. The same way here. We're self-supporting. You know, we take turns, sign up for commitments to vacuum, to wash cups. You know, we got glass cups here because it gives more commitments to people. You know, we clean the bathrooms ourselves. You know, we do the trash ourselves. We've even separated the cans and plastic bottles and trash back there. And we check in our cans and our plastic bottles, and we put it in the seventh tradition to help contribute toward our rent. You know, we do all kinds. We have eating meetings where, you know, it's $5 to eat. You know, the guys cook, and we pay $5 to eat. And we cover the cost of buying the food, and what's left over goes into the seventh tradition to pay for our hall dues, our rent here at the hall. And we do all kinds of things like that to be self-supporting. And it works out really well for us here. Because, like they announced at the Brea meeting on Thursday night, we're not going to have it at that church on Thursday night. One of the main reasons is because churches want to use their own facilities on holidays. And so anytime they do that, we have to, because we rent there, they're the ultimate authorities. It's their facility, and they can say, you know, we need this facility on Thanksgiving night. So we say, okay, you know, thank you. They let us use it the rest of the time, except for Christmas maybe, and depending on when Christmas falls. But having our own hall here and paying hall dues and our seventh tradition going to the rent, having food functions for the rent, having the cans and the plastic bottles go toward the rent, nobody can kick us out of here. We can come here anytime we want. And we got tons of meetings here every day. Every day we have meetings in here. How cruel is that? Don't take it for granted that it'll always be here. If we can't keep the seventh tradition high enough to cover the rent, this hall goes away. There are no free rides in this world. And we're self-supporting through our own contributions. And we do. I kick in more for the hall than I do in other meetings because I want to keep the hall. It's my personal thing. And so the seventh tradition is very important to me. It's a spiritual concept. How can I put a price on my recovery? Yeah, you go to a psychologist and what do you pay? $50, $100 an hour or 30 minutes or however long you can get their attention? Yeah. $2 to $3 in the basket's nothing. Nothing. So I put that into gratitude. That's how grateful I am for my recovery here and for my home group and for our meeting hall. My contribution is my gratitude. Okay, tradition 8. Al-Anon 12 steps work should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Now, this has a lot to do, like special workers. What's a special worker? Some people like to vacuum. Some people like to wash cups. Some people like to wash the towels and come in and fold them and put them up. We don't have a towel fairy here. And Cindy A. had done that for years. And now somebody else has taken it over, and I don't even know who that is. But I take it for granted that the towels are there. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that terrible? But I don't take it for granted when we don't have paper towels. We have a person that goes and buys paper towels and toilet paper now. By God, I know what that who that person is, because when I go in that bathroom, I want toilet paper. And I go tell him every once in a while, I sure am grateful that you don't mind shopping for us, because part of our seventh tradition goes for our supplies at the hall. And so I show my gratitude in different ways. The special workers that we have here and at home. Now, Keith and I complement each other. There's things that Keith can do that I can't do, like keep maintenance up on my vehicle. A car is to drive. Keith knows that a car has to have oil, has to have air in the tires, you know, and I know it's got to have gas in the tank. I'm that smart. And then there's things that he can't do. Like I called the insurance company the other day to make sure that our insurance for next year is renewed and not let that lapse to re-enrollment. He can't handle that kind of thing. And, you know, and I called the pharmacy the other day and called in prescription. He can't do that either. He doesn't like doing that. He doesn't like being confronted at airports. I can handle that. Like in Jackson, Mississippi. The security clearances. Well, we complement each other because there's things we can do and things we can't do. I do the grocery shopping. Now, Keith has tried to do the grocery shopping, but he spends twice as much money as I do. And we don't have as many groceries. And so I do the grocery shopping, but I always say, I'm going to grocery shopping. Is there any, what do you want? What do you want me to get? So we communicate. God, these traditions teach us how to communicate with each other. And it's real simple. You just ask a question. What do you want? I'm going grocery shopping. What do you want? It's like today when I went to see my sponsor and I went to lunch with her, and I knew that Keith probably hadn't eaten lunch, and it was 1:30 when I was coming home. And so he called me and he said, what time are you coming home? And I said, I'm on my way. And I got you a ham sandwich. He said, thank you. because I was thinking, well, as I get off the freeway, I'll come down La Palma and I'll stop at Tom's over here and I'll get him a sandwich. And I thought, I'm sitting in a restaurant. So I ordered a sandwich to go for him, and I didn't have to stop on the way home. And he appreciated it. And it's just like, this program has taught me to not be so self-centered. I was thinking today on the way over to my sponsors. People in Las Vegas, Cindy lives over there now, and her and I have timed how long it takes to go from one end of Las Vegas to the other. And it takes about 20 minutes, 30 max. You would think, hearing Las Vegas people talk, that they're going from here to San Francisco. That is way across town. Oh, I don't go to meetings out there. That's in Summerlin. Or that's in Henderson. Or that's in Green Valley. And I'm going, it only takes 15, 20 minutes to get there. Oh, I don't go that far to meetings. And I was thinking today when I was going to my sponsors, I am so grateful for my teachings. The long-timers taught me when I got to this program, you went to any lengths to chase a drunk. Are you willing to go to any lengths to get your recovery? Now, it takes an hour for me to drive from here to Redondo Beach, where my sponsor lives. Was that a chore? Not after everything she's given me. Why do we make excuses to not go for recovery? So, was I a trusted servant today? I don't know. But I learned a lot today. I learned a lot about love that has penetrated will always be there, no matter where the other person is. And without that kind of love, it wouldn't have been there without the 12 steps and the 12 traditions being practiced in their home. Those people lived together for 56 years. Jack Kissel was 78 years old and had 38 years recovery, sober, and had been married for 56 years. That is a result of Alcoholics Anonymous and of Al-Anon. Now, am I put out that my sponsor asked me, do you want to come and take me to lunch? The answer is yes. Oh, wow. Yeah. Driving an hour to her house was not a problem. What a privilege it was. What a compliment it was that she wanted to be with me. And I never turned down the opportunity to be with her. So, it's not a professional thing. It's a personal thing. And it says at the end of this tradition, let's keep it simple, let's keep it Al-Anon. What is Al-Anon? Al-Anon is love, understanding, and compassion. That means we find it here in the meetings and we take it home. We have love and compassion for each other because of the identity. We take it home because our loved ones live there. And that's why we work the steps, is to get rid of all the hatefulness and resentment that we have so we can become a trusted servant in our own home. Is my husband hungry? Does he want me to bring him a sandwich today? Why does he impose on me like that? None of those thoughts were there today. I knew he hadn't eaten. He's an alcoholic. He gets irritable, restless, and discontent when he doesn't eat. And I want him to be a happy person. So what do I... Is that enabling? I don't think so. It's like we were in Cincinnati, Ohio last weekend, and Keith sponsors this guy by the name of Grumpy. and his wife Sam was there, and she's an Al-Anon. And I don't sponsor Sam. She has a local sponsor there. And Grumpy, a couple of years ago, had a motorcycle accident, slid under a car, and lost a leg. And so he's got an artificial leg. And Saturday night he was complaining that his leg stump kept coming out of his artificial leg because his stump has shrunk. And he said, I've got three socks on, and it still doesn't fit. And I said, why don't you go to the doctor and tell the doctor and have him resize you? And Sam, his wife, said, oh, well, I've told him that many times, but he won't call, and he won't make an appointment, and he won't go in there. I said, why don't you call and make an appointment for him? Ask him when he wants to go, and call and make an appointment, see if you can get him in as soon as possible. This needs to be taken care of. Oh, I don't do that for him anymore. I said, why not? She said, because it's enabling. I said, I don't think so. Have you ever thought that it might be really hard for Grump to call his doctor and make an appointment and say, hey, my shrunk stump, or stump shrunk, my stump shrunk. It's his wife. There's things that you need to do to take care of your man. It doesn't matter if he's an alcoholic or not. And she said, thank you. And they called us on Monday, and he got an appointment. And he waited too long, and he's going to have a whole new leg instead of just the top part that fits on his stump. And but they were grateful that they were working together. And that's what I think this tradition is about, being of service to each other, helping fill in the gaps. What he can't do, I can. What I can't do, he can. Or the kids. I had to learn that when I told Simone, will you make your bed? And she said, yes. And I went in her room, and I thought it looked like crap and had wrinkles all over it. I tore it apart because she hadn't made a bed. And my sponsor said, she thought she had. She did it the best she could do. You're a perfectionist. Your making a bed is not Simone's making a bed. And so what I had to do is let Simone make her bed the way she made a bed until she learned that she could do it better. And as the more she made her own bed, the better it got. Now, with my attitude, with my attitude, my daughter's not a good cook. I never taught her how to cook because it took too long. I didn't have time, and she made a big mess. And I'd rather do it myself. And she's not a good cook today. And I told her husband one time when he was over there, he said, she's not a good cook. And I said, don't put her down from that. That's my fault. I never taught her how to cook. And he said, why? And I said, because I didn't have time. I was a career person and I had other things to do, like chase an alcoholic. So anyway, tradition 9. Our groups as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. We get our necessary work done by the use of spiritual principles and logical procedures agreed upon by everyone involved. And that goes back to taking a group conscience. What is good for the group? What procedures are we going to do? The same thing at home. The same thing at home. Keith and I have recognized that the older we are, the less we need to eat. Not that we want to eat, but the less that we need to eat. And so what we have started doing is that we have a breakfast, and then we have a late lunch, and then we don't eat as much for dinner. And that is a procedure that we've changed in our home. It's not necessary to make the big meals that we used to. And when Keith wants something special, like he was wanting seafood soup the other night, and he said, let's go down to the Chinese restaurant down the hill. Let's eat some Chinese food down there. Soup. And I said, okay, fine. And so we did. And so we have things like that that we do that we never used to do before. because we're retired and we can. And if that's the second meal we ate today and it's late in the day, so be it. But we both agree on it. It's not something that I go, I'm not cooking no more, now, because you don't eat it all anyway. And so that's not it. It's a communication. Communication is so important. Same way here. I've heard people say, I don't want a commitment. Oh my God. I was taught that a commitment is an honor and a privilege to give back what you've so freely given me. And once I do that, it comes back tenfold. Same way at home. Give a compliment, you'll eventually get them all back. According to the wishes of the group and in line with our traditions, and as talked about, our trusted servants are responsible to perform faithful the jobs they have accepted. And this is something that the girls in Las Vegas are learning is commitment. What is a commitment? What does it mean? It says that you say you will do a project and you do it from the beginning until it's done. Like taking on literature, that's a 3-month commitment. So if I take the literature commitment here, it means that for 3 months I'm responsible that there's literature in that rack over there and there's books to be for sale when a newcomer walks in here and needs a book. That's my commitment. And I do that for 3 months, every week for 3 months. What a small deal to do. That is not a hard commitment for me to do. Based on the fact I wrote hot checks at jails, bailed him out of jail, chased him down in bars, went to Bakersfield because I was mad at him and he was staying up there and drunk up there, drove up there after work, got his ass in the car and drove him back down here and went to work the next morning. Is that too much for me to make sure that the literature tray, if that's my commitment, is full? I don't think so. I put my energy in comparison to what I used to do in the insanity. And I take that energy to make a positive commitment to growth in my life. Okay? Tradition 10. The Al-Anon family groups have no opinion on outside issues, hence our name ought never be drawn into public controversy. This one is so fun. Don't you love this one? I believe this one's all about gossip. If it doesn't include program, it's none of my business. I've had people come up to me, did you hear blah, blah about so-and-so? It's gossip. I'm practicing the 10th tradition. I don't want to hear it. Because what they're doing in their personal life is really none of my business. You hear it all the time. I used to have a sponsor that say, we are not here to gossip. We just do loving reports. Well, that's baloney. And I am guilty of this, breaking this tradition in that respect. And I work on it a lot. I had a 2-year sabbatical from a friend of mine in Al-Anon because every time her and I were together and we talked to each other, we gossiped. And so I couldn't talk to her sponsor-directed for 2 years. Now, do I think that when people put me down and gossip about me, that's a payback? No, I don't think God works that way. But it's happened to me. And so I do not do that to others because I know how painful it is. I know how damaging it is and how much it hurts others. So if you're getting ready to put somebody down, what I need to do is check my own self-esteem and see if it's making, if I am getting pleasure out of putting somebody else down, it's because my own self-esteem is not where it's supposed to be. I am not in a spiritual attitude. And I need to work on my conscious contact with God in order to feel me okay. What you say about me is none of my business. What I feel about me is between me and God. Okay, so what you say can't hurt me. It's none of my business. You don't have to like me. I thought everybody had to like me. Well, not everybody has to like me. And the freedom of that is that I don't have to like everybody either. We love you in a very special way. We don't have to like everybody. But we care that you get recovery. And it's like not everybody can do recovery like they do in this group. That's why there's so many meetings. It's like the drunk that, there was a sober alcoholic, and he had been shipwrecked, and he was the only person on this island for years, 2 or 3 years. And finally, this shipliner came by, and they saw a signal, and so they get him. They rescue him off of this island, and they said, "Is there anybody else?" And he said, "No, I've been here all by myself for 3 years." And so the captain invites him up to his quarters for dinner, and he said, "Would you like a glass of wine?" He said, "No, I'm a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't drink, but thank you. I love the meal." And the captain said, "You were on that island by yourself for 3 years?" And the guy said, "Yes, I was." And he said, "There were three huts out there, three grass huts on that beach." And the alcoholic said, "I know. The one in the middle was my home. The one on the right was my home group." And he said, "Well, what was the one on the left?" He said, "My old home group." So that's the way we are, you know. We don't like one group, we go to another. They say all you have to do to start a new meeting is have a big book or an Al-Anon big book, 12 and 12 in a coffee pot. And that's what started this meeting. So, we didn't have Al-Anon step studies when I started this meeting. So, the 10th tradition, we are free to disagree with one another, but we try to do so without angry disputes. When I first started going to intergroup and world service meeting, I thought, in convention planning meetings, big time in convention planning meetings, oh, this is how you fight legally. It amazed me that these people would yell at each other and disagree with each other. They'd get up, when the meeting was over, they'd hold hands and say, "Our Father," they'd hug each other, "Bye, see you at the meeting tomorrow night." And I'd go, "Whoa, what is this all about? They just fought with each other and then hugged." I mean, you do that at my house, you get a divorce or kill one of them. And it's like, no, you can disagree. You can disagree. And I learned also through this tradition that I used to hate or love. And I learned that I didn't hate Keith, I loved him. I just didn't like all the things he did. And so I got to allow people in my meetings to do the things that they did, not like some of the things that you do, but I love you. I might not like your actions, but I love you as a person. And I'm committed to help you. I'm devoted and dedicated. Because I have a loving God and He loves me, therefore I love you. That's what this whole thing's about. But I might not like everything you do. It doesn't mean we're going to close down the meeting. It doesn't mean that you're wrong. It means that I might do it some other way. And so we have those kind of situations everywhere, our home and everywhere. Concentrate on our common bond and not our absent views or outside views. So we can be individuals. That tradition makes us an individual. Tradition 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, TV, and films. We need guard with special care the anonymity of all AA members. This gives security to the insecure and gives humility to the secure. This is a program of attraction rather than promotion. And the same thing applies in relationships. Keith and I could not fall in love again with each other after we got to the program, until we started getting healthier in our own spiritual way. I was not an attraction to him, he was not attraction to me. Because we had so much wreckage, and so we had to work the steps with our sponsor, pay attention to our own program, quit taking each other's inventory, let the other person, I released him to Alcoholics Anonymous. Whatever he did was none of my business. I had to do the same thing with Simone, our daughter. I released her to the program of Alateen. It was harder to do her because she was a kid. What's the difference between being a parent and being an Al-Anon? And I had to learn the difference, that I had to quit being controlling and being more loving and understanding. And it's like the more complimentary I was of her, the better she got. She loved compliments. And so she would do things around the house to get her compliments. And her and I fell in love again. Same way with Keith and I. I would give him compliments on how he looked, and I eventually started getting them back. And he tells me a lot, I look nice. He told me today, you look nice, babe. Yeah. And I appreciate that. But I never got those until I started giving them away. I had to become a program attraction in my own home. So as long as I'm irritable, restless, and discontent, I'm going to push people away. Just like when my hormones were out of whack. I had this hateful feeling inside. And I had to work one heck of a program to project love outside of me. Because I did not feel that way inside, because I was whacked out with an imbalance of hormones in my system. But I didn't want to push people away from me, especially Keith. And so I had to either be quiet, or I had to tune up the, hi, how are you? I had to overreact in a positive way in order to feel even. Okay? And he was very tolerant of me when I went through that. So this tradition, plus the fact, it ties in with the 11th step. I cannot be a program of attraction if I am not in tune with my God in the 11th step. If I'm not asking God for knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry it out, how am I an attraction to you or in my home? Or at work? God, I keep leaving work out. Work gives us big problems. But the biggest thing on step traditional 11 is practicing humility in our lives, and that's what step 11 teaches us, is humility. I'm just one person. I had a girl call me the other day, her company wasn't doing this and they wasn't doing that and blah, blah, blah. And I said, wow, when did you get your promotion? She goes, what promotion? And I said, the one to be president of the company. She goes, why are you saying that? And I said, because the company isn't operating your way. So you must be the president of the company now. Because I thought that you were a clerk. Oh, isn't that humbling? Just unreal. I love sponsorship. It's like the other day when I was going through the hormone thing and I was mad at my doctor because he wasn't doing what I thought he should do for me, and my sponsor said, what do you call him? And I said, Dr. Jerry. And she said, oh, we just call you Sue Drum. I go, okay. Tradition 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles above personalities. And this has one saying in it, principle that I just love, and I say it all the time, that principles will never fail us. People always will. I can have expectations that a principle will work for me. I cannot have expectations that people will. It really doesn't matter to me who it is. I listen to the message and not the person. People use us. Principles never do. I had to learn the difference between being loving and being a people pleaser. Big difference. I have to love you no matter who you are. If my motives are right to be a trusted servant and be of service to my God, I'm okay with you. If I'm doing something for you to make you like me, my personality is involved and it's wrong. And one of the things that I think this applies to big time anymore, and I hear it a lot from ladies I sponsor that call me, is it seems like it's more important to people's sometimes today, a lot today, I will say, that the people you sponsor like you more than they want what you have. And this last week, I fired myself as a newcomer sponsor because she argued with everything. And I was reading to her out of the One Day at a Time book, and I was saying, this is not my opinion. This is what the One Day at a Time book says today, which is exactly what you're going through. And it says what you need to do. Yes, but. And I said, I'm not going to argue with you about this. I'm not arguing with you about this. And I said, now you are arguing. And it was about the third or fourth time she had called me to prove that she was right. And this had happened over and over and over for about 3 months. And I said, you know what? I've had it. I have 33 years in this program. You have 3 months. And you're telling me what you need to get better. You're insane. You have insane thinking. You haven't even gone through your steps yet, and you're telling me what's good for you, which is to be involved with him and do what he says. He's manipulating you, so you're trying to manipulate me to co-sign what he wants you to do with him. I won't do that. You can do whatever he wants you to do if you want to. That's your choice. But I will not say it's the right thing to do. Oh, my God, she got mad at me and just started yelling. I go, you know what? I'm done. I'm done. Because I will not prostitute my program so you will like me and you will get your way and you will get sicker. And so will I. Because if I keep giving in, pretty soon my program's watered down. And so I can't allow that to happen in my life and in my chain of sponsorship. I love the girls that I sponsor. I love to see them get better. If they don't want to, that's their choice. But I don't have to be involved. I don't make the decisions for the ladies that I sponsor. We reason things out. We come up with options. I share experiences with them that I have done, what's worked for me, what my sponsors shared with me, what worked for her. And you have choices. I will not be responsible for your growth or your demise. I will not be blamed for your character defects. I lived like that on a daily basis with active alcoholism in my home, and my self-worth went to zero. I will not do that with people in this program. And I hope you can make a decision to not do that with people in this program also. It will take your self-esteem down. You will not grow giving that kind of program away, and you will be diluting Al-Anon family groups as it is suggested in these 12 steps and these 12 traditions. We keep this program exactly the way it is. If I practice steps 4 through 10, everyone in my life will be okay. If I practice steps 10, 11, and 12, once I've gone through the first 9 steps, I will be okay. Okay? I find out who I am and what I need to do. These traditions, after I go through the steps and find out who I am and I want to change, these traditions tell me how to do that. And all of these traditions are about a being of service to others, not self-serving to me. The traditions teach us to get more out of bondage of self and to get into giving and being loving and compassionate to the alcoholic and the families of. And what I found out by doing this in my life, if I am right, I do not have to defend myself. And if I'm wrong, I can't. So it really doesn't matter what the circumstances are. I keep my mouth shut. And I will not make a fool of myself. You might make a fool of yourself, and that's fine if you want to do that, but you will not make a fool of me. I will turn my head and I will walk away, because my God is a lot stronger. And I have examples of strong sponsorship and humility and love and kindness in my life today. My sponsor loved an alcoholic for 56 years. Tuesday, I called my sponsor, and her husband answered the phone. He died yesterday. Tuesday, I called her, and he answered the phone. And since he got sick, his Alzheimer's had kicked in the last 2 weeks, big time. And the last week, she was having a really hard time with it. And so I called her on Tuesday, 2 days before he passed. And he said, Jean's not here right now. Call her back in 30 minutes. And before, he was always said, turn her on a cell phone. She's got her cell phone with her. And so he didn't say anything. He just said, you know, she'll be back in about 30 minutes. So I said, okay. And she had told me that his Alzheimer's was off and on. And some days it was worse than others. And so I called her on her cell phone, and it went into voicemail. And so I thought, okay, you know, well, I'll call her back in 30 minutes. So I get this call, and it's my sponsor's husband, Jack. And he's going, who is this? And I said, this is Sue. And he said, did you just call Jean on her cell phone? And I said, yes, I did. And he said, well, she doesn't have her cell phone with her. It's here. And he said, but I don't know how to get into her voicemail, so you're going to have to tell me what you said. And I said, okay, I just called to tell her to have a good day, and when she has a minute, to please call me. He goes, okay, I can pass that on myself. You don't need to call her on her cell phone to do that. Okay, thank you, Jack. I will never forget that conversation. Is that alcoholic? I think so. He was an alcoholic up to the very last minute. When they put him in the nursing home, he said, I can't go. And the doctor said, why? He said, because all of my alcoholic friends call me on my home phone. And the doctor said, if we tell them that they can call you on our phone, will you go? And he said, yeah, I'll go. If you'll let them call here, I'll go. Alcoholics Anonymous was his primary purpose to the very end. And his wishes were that he would not have a funeral, but he will have an AA memorial. He was an example to the very end. Every Labor Day, the Dog on the Roof group has a long-timers meeting here at this home. And Jack was one of the long-timers, and he loved that meeting. And when I went to their apartment today, they have a little apartment, and they have a little bitty living room. And one corner is his computer with all of his pictures. And he had all the plaques of that Labor Day long-timers meeting from the Dog on the Roof with the picture of all the long-timers with him in it next to each one of those plaques. And I looked at him and I went, oh my God. And Jean said he loved that meeting. He would never miss that meeting. He loved being a long-timer and being with the other long-timers. Last Sunday night, he went to an AA meeting. He was that sick and he went to an AA meeting. I have to be there. And she said they took him in and he shared and he was so coherent. And he got back home and he sunk back into his Alzheimer's. That man was an alcoholic in recovery up to the very end. I love alcoholics. I love Alcoholics Anonymous for giving us these 12 steps. And I love the long-timers in AA and Al-Anon for making the traditions for Al-Anon and thinking of their relatives that love Alcoholics and Friends. I want to keep this going in the manner in which it was given to me, to not water this program down, to pass this thing on exactly the way I got it. And I hope you do too, because the long-timers that I was raised by, most of them are not here any longer. And it's unfortunate you couldn't meet them. But I've been given part of the responsibility to share with a small group of ladies what I was given. And I will do that to the very end. I admire long-timers like Arbutus. I got a call from Seattle, Washington this last week. Arbutus O'Neill in Texas is 93 years old and has Alzheimer's and in a nursing home. She cannot remember her family's names, but she has pictures of Keith and Simone and I and Nicole on the walls in her room in that nursing home. She remembers us in this program. And she got a phone call and they said, we need an Al-Anon to come to our convention, and we prefer one that will talk about the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And this lady said, without hesitation, Arbutus said, call Sue Drum. What a compliment. And I don't live for that. But by God, when it comes back, I appreciate it. I hope you do too. I hope you don't take this for granted. I don't. I work very hard to keep my program strong like it was given to me. And I hope you love yourself enough to keep your program strong too. Thank you.